Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you doing today? Or tonight, I should say.
Well, seeing as it's nighttime, I would really like to sleep, but instead, I am here with you wonderful people.
Yes, that's people, plural, because Allie Gertz is back with us yet again. Yay!
Hi, how's it going?
We're good. How are you, Allie?
Good, it's daytime where I am, so I would also like to be asleep.
Yes, Allie has been with us before. If you guys haven't listened to those episodes, you should. She's a very talented musician. She is in the group Cosby Sweater, so check that out. If you guys don't stick around to hear the plugs at the end.
But, yeah, there are lots of Simpsons songs.
Yes, exactly. They're very good. She listened. Before we get going, we have a question from one of our Twitter followers. I guess asking on the air last week worked because someone asked us a question. Roger, at Roger Wong, he's been with us for a while now. He's an early follower. Asked, what's your favorite Simpsons merch that you own? Which is honestly a pretty good question. I can start us off. I'm going to kind of cheat and give two answers. Because one of the things I don't have anymore because it fell apart, but it was a Simpsons shirt that I got like when I was in fifth grade that had Bart with the chalkboard gag. I think it was something involving beans being musical fruit.
Yes.
But I wore it so much that it fell apart, unfortunately. So it doesn't exist anymore. My currently favorite merch is a signed animation cell by Dan Castellaneta of Homer pointing a gun at the person who, basically at whoever's looking at it. It looks like Homer's pointing a gun at you. But it's,
well, we know Homer and firearms don't mix really well. Yes. So
Matt, do you have a favorite Simpsons merch?
I do actually. When I was a kid, I actually got a copy of Radioactive Man #1 that I still have to this day. Ooh. I have read it umpteen times, despite always knowing how it goes, and it's still in what's the rating system for comics, Robbie? I forget.
I hate comic book ratings. It's so stupid. Comic books are meant to be read, people. Don't lock them up in plastic. That's
exactly
dumb, but it's 1 to 10 if you go CCG.
So it's about a 4. So okay. It's not in good condition, but you know, you can still understand the words.
Yeah. We're going to have a bonus episode one day. We're going to do Simpsons comics. I don't know when, but it'll happen. Allie, do you have something? Any Simpsons merch?
I have too much Simpsons merch. It's making this question difficult. I'm in my own bedroom, which is where I'm recording. I am looking at my most recent addition, which is my pin to the Hollywood Bowl show they just did. They gave out Lisa and Homer pins, and I have one of both.
Ooh, nice.
And I have a few. I have the plush family. But the one I have in my room is of Lisa. And then I have a garage full of all the McFarlane toys in their in their environments. So it's funny, most of the quotes that I know best are from the interactive Simpsons toys, and they're not even really that good. it's pretty great. Like, have we talked about this yet?
I don't think so.
I love it. I have the interactive home, just, you know, the Simpsons home. And it was so early that I don't think they really knew, like, what Marge was going to say. And so hers are, now let's forget our troubles with a great big bowl of strawberry ice cream. And the other famous Marge quote is, the secret ingredient is salt. Like, those are the only Marge quotes they could come up with. And, you know, I played with them all the time. I still have a lot of them. I mean, I didn't sell any of them, but, you know, they're worth nothing because the show is still on. but I don't remember the name of this. And if either of you do, I'd be very grateful. But there was a really cool book I have where it's kind of like this travel book or vacation book. And like Bart kind of just teaches you all these cool tricks. And it was something that I had in my car whenever we went on road trips. And it would teach you how to make it sound like you were breaking your nose or just, you know, useless stuff. And I can't remember what it's called, but it was my favorite thing growing up. And I'm on the hunt for it again, if that sounds familiar to anyone.
Yes, I don't know if I still own that, but I remember owning it. That because it was right up my alley as a small child, as a young.
I would love to know what it's called if anyone ever figures that out.
Yeah, if we only had some kind of device that could search like a vast database and try and figure it. But yeah,
my day job is a researcher for the internet. And somehow I have not taken the 2 seconds to look up what this thing is called.
We'll figure it out. We'll find it.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'll get some Twitter people. You know, we'll get ats. Here's 50 links that tells you. I do have a book that also is, that is only about Simpsons merchandise. Like, it's an entire book about, hey, look, this is all the crap that, it focuses really on the early 90s stuff when it was the most crazy.
Bartmania. Yeah, I've seen that and I love it. I love all the Simpsons books and I have the really giant like encyclopedia of episodes that I really love too. And probably the thing I wear the most is my Bart Simpson shirt, which is, I spent way too much money on it. I spent like $60 on a t-shirt. But it's worth it because it's actually from the time and it's Bart saying don't have a cow man, which is in my Twitter, avatar. If you're ever so interested in seeing it.
Yeah, if I saw that shirt in a store and it was $60, I would spend $60. So I'm not gonna judge.
On a horse.
Yeah,
I left. I actually like I tried it on. I took my Twitter picture and then I left because I couldn't justify spending that much money. And then I texted my friend who loves The Simpsons and I said, "Should I get this?" They said yes. About 45 minutes later, and then I drove back, and then I got it.
That's a good friend.
It is a good friend. It is a good. Any friend that encourages impulse buying is a good friend.
That's what I think.
But if you guys at home want to ask us a question, you can reach us on Twitter, on Facebook. You can email us. Twitter is at Simpsons Show Pod. Facebook is Facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. We're one follower like away from 100, so you might put us over the edge. You can,
if you like really round numbers, you'll like us.
You can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Also, if you like the show, please leave us a good review on iTunes, subscribe, rate us, all those things. Really helps us out. Really gets it gets more eyes on the podcast and it gets us more listeners. We really appreciate it. This week's episode is Dancin' Homer, episode 7F05, originally aired November 8th, 1990. It was written by Ken Levine, I'm guessing is Ken Levine, one or the other, and David Isaacs. Ken Levine is a baseball announcer. He's announced for minor league and major league teams. He's also written for a bunch of sitcoms, many of them. And he also has a really famous blog, like it was on Time's best blog list, and he still updates to this day, and you can find it. And David Isaacs is also, he's still working on television. He most recently worked on Mad Men. I believe this is their first episode that they've written. For The Simpsons. It was also directed by Mark Kirkland. This is his first episode as well. He is the most prolific Simpsons director. 77 episodes, still directing to this day, Simpsons. A couple episodes a season, it seems. And if you look at the list of ones he's done a lot of good ones throughout the years.
Well, this is a good start, then.
It is. Chalkboard gag for this episode was, "I will not trade pants with others." Which
is terrible advice, because occasionally you have really uncomfortable pants and you gotta pawn them off on somebody else.
There's no problem with trading pants, as long as it's mutual trade.
Have you guys traded pants?
I don't think they work. Matt is a giant. He is literally a Goliath, and I don't think his pants would fit me.
Just because your pants would be shorter than capris on me, don't make it seem weird.
He'd be wearing the John Stockton basketball shorts if he wore my pants. The couch gag is Maggie pokes. They sit down and Maggie pokes her way out of Marge's hair, which is cute. I think I'm going to start listing the ratings because I think it's at least semi interesting. This episode finished 25th in the ratings for that week. with a Nielsen rating of 14.9, which is, for if it was today, that'd be crazy. But at the time, it was only 25th. It was the highest rated show on the Fox network that week, which I believe main competition would be Married with Children at the time, or one of those alien autopsy videos or something.
Or Cops. Was Cops around back then?
I think so. Yeah, Cops has been around for, I think Cops has existed since there's been humans.
Oh, well, good.
Into the events of the episode. The whole episode has a framing sequence. Like, there's Homer's telling the story of the episode in Moe's.
I love this. Yeah, I actually really love it.
I completely forgot about it. Apparently it was the idea of James L. Brooks, who, because the writers could not figure out a way to end the story. So they had it start and end at Moe's Tavern with Homer telling this. It's a flashback, but it would have to have been after Bleeding Gums, I assume, after Moaning Lisa.
Yeah.
Because she is very reverent to Bleeding Gums when he sings the national anthem. So I guess it's in that time frame as if it matters very much, but it's a way for them to get away around Mr. Burns not being very angry at Homer.
After the
last episode involving him telling that he'll make sure Homer's dreams are never fulfilled.
But not to mention that it's a great way to get some of Homer's thoughts into the show, which is occasionally a little hard. I mean, yeah, they do go into his head a little bit, but it's an easy way for him to provide a little bit of narration and background.
Yeah, it's true.
It felt kind of like, it just felt more sitcom-y. It felt a little like Cheers. It felt like a lot of stuff I like. Not necessarily like The Simpsons. The closest they get to that is the Treehouse of Horror episodes, when they have those types of devices to get you in and out of stories. But it was interesting.
Yeah, Homer is basically like, all the barflies are asking for a story from Homer, and he tells them the story of when he, you know, his claim to fame at the time, which this is in the long line of alternate jobs for Homer.
That's true. Being a nuclear safety inspector just doesn't pay the bills like it used to.
Yeah, it's much better to be a minor league baseball mascot. the episode starts off with him going. They go to the minor league baseball game, which is, I believe, the first time we've seen anything of the Springfield Isotopes. It's nuclear plant employee spouses and no more than three children night.
Yeah, those fourth children, they're total freeloaders.
No more than three children is actually kind of, I would think, generous for Burns. It seems like he would cap it at two, but that's a way to have. I would think it would be funner if they had two and a half children, but
2.3, near the national average.
National average, but Homer's eager to drink a lot and make a fool of himself.
Well, with 72-ounce beers, I mean, can you really blame him?
As is his duty, I believe, as he claims, is his duty to make a full ass out of himself. Marge is already worrying about it because he mooned an umpire the last time they went to a baseball game.
Well, what else are you going to do to the umpires? I mean, obviously, they're terrible at their jobs because, you know, they call strikes when there are no strikes. And, you know, they're just mean to your players, so you have to moon them.
You're a big baseball fan, right, Matt?
Oh, yeah. You know me. I love the sports ball.
You love the sports ball. Burns greets the employees with cards. Throwback to No Disgrace Like Home, which was originally, I believe, an homage to Reagan, who did the same thing. He had cards, 3x5 cards, for anyone who needed. He was meeting for the first time. But this is the point in which, if it had taken place right after the last episode, Burns would be...
It would have gotten away with it.
Yeah, exactly.
I love that that he calls them the Simps.
Yes.
Which is like a great hip-hop name.
Simps.
Hmm.
I don't think they need any ideas for more music albums. Burns throws out the first pitch. It goes a couple feet. The Simpsons mock him loudly, as well does the whole audience.
Well, yeah, I think this is really interesting and funny just because, like, the things that they're saying is, like, we want a pitcher, not a belly itcher. Like, those are things that you just heard. That's nothing that The Simpsons wrote, but it's also probably one of the earlier representations of just that basic schoolyard game-attending kind of dialogue between, you know, fans and, haters and the players. And I think it's really funny that, like, it's just a slice of life. This whole episode just feels like, oh yeah, this is what it is to be a family. This is what you do.
Yeah, exactly. The thing that was always coming up to me was, it's like, as they go, they end up in Capital City later on. It seems very much like a divide between a Simpsons as a small town family in Springfield versus the big city.
And all them rich folks down in Capital City, yeah, and their highfalutin baseball.
which we'll touch on later. It harkens back to that. It seems a lot. And that it is like a slice of small town life of the Simpsons day to day. And this isn't like they have, even in the very first episode, Bart sing the,
Jingle Bells, Jingle, Batman.
Yeah, tells, Jingle Bells. What is wrong with me? Jingle Bells. But Bleeding Gums, sings the national anthem. It takes, 26 minutes according to the clock at the stadium. Everyone is visibly tired as he goes on and on and on. Lisa.
Well, stands. Have you ever stood for 26 minutes, Robbie? That takes a lot out of you.
I think I have done that once or twice in my lifetime. Even though most of my time is sitting, but you know, standing, I have done it occasionally, mostly in lines for Disney World and Comic Con. Lisa stands in rapt attention the whole time. Everyone else in the entire stadium lets out a audible sigh of relief after when he's done it. And it is not Corey Taylor who did the voice originally. They got Daryl L. Coley, but he only sings. So it's, I guess there's a difference. You can tell a little bit of a difference, but
not as much as if he were, had an actual speaking role.
Yeah. If he had a speaking role, I think it'd be more obvious. The Isotopes are a terrible baseball team. They've lost 26 in a row. They're facing the Shelbyvillians, which that's a terrific name for a minor league baseball team, especially. Homer's looking forward to getting drunk and making a fool of himself, and Burns ends up sitting next to him, and he's immediately very upset because now he has to behave himself. Marge is happy about this until we find out that Burns wants to drink with Homer. They start drinking. Two beers. Two 72-ounce beers. $2.50.
That's how you know it was the 90s. Nowadays, you can get, what, a 16-ounce beer for $12?
Yeah. That's, yes. It's terrible. It's the worst. It's like drinking on South Beach. But they start pounding around. They're mocking and taunting the players. Burns throws around several old-timey baseball references, including one of Connie Mack, who, oh, he coached for a long time. He played in the 19 aughts. That's when he played baseball, Connie Mack. For those,
so when Burns was a young boy, you're saying?
Yes, when Burns was a young boy. So Connie Mack, he's been dead for multiple decades. He died, and he lived until he was in his 90s. So he makes multiple old-timey baseball references. Bart tries to get an autograph by Flash. A player named Flash Baylor is a washed-up major leaguer. They make a reference to that early on, to if we're going to see any washed-up major leaguers. He only signs a ball when Marge throws it, and it's basically a come-on for her to go to his hotel room.
Well, Marge is a mature quail, whatever that means.
Mature quail. Homer's impressed by this, not angry. But, you know, they pal around for a while. The Isotopes are losing in the spot in the ninth. And everyone's pretty much, it's a foregone conclusion that they're going to lose. Homer kind of gets emboldened by alcohol and baby elephant walk and starts dancing. And the crowd loves it. He gets them going. And we actually pulled this clip because I think it's, you get to hear the crowd reacting, and you hear kind of Homer's internal monologue, which him describing how like great it feels for people to be on his side, like for him to be like, I don't know, being helpful and them liking him. It's kind of charming that, you know,
well, for once people weren't laughing at him. They were laughing with him.
No, at his,
towards his, him.
Sorry, towards him. My bad.
Which is even better. But we have that clip and we'll play it for you right now.
What's wrong with you people? Let's show some spirit. Come on, get up. Your team needs you. Come on. As I got up in front of them, I felt an intoxication that had nothing to do with alcohol. It was the intoxication of being a public spectacle.
There's some nut down in right field dancing up a storm. He's really got the crowd going. Let's see if it can shake up mediocre slugger Big Bill McCloskey. Swung on and belted to deep left field. It's going, going. It's gone. It's out of here.
And it ends with the Isotopes player hitting a home run and winning the game, walk-off home run.
Grand slam.
This moment is an homage to multiple baseball movies, most notably probably The Natural, but they have that kind of slow motion home run thing in like a dozen baseball movies. This whole like minor league baseball thing is also kind of reminiscent of Bull Durham, even though they don't really have anything directly referencing it. It is very reminiscent of Bull Durham, which is an excellent movie if you haven't seen it. Kevin Costner, he's a charmer. But the owner calls him up, Antoine Tex O'Hara, which, what a name. And he is offered the mascot job, which he readily accepts. And we kind of get a montage from this point on of, like, Homer, coming on with his mascot costume, which is a shirt with an H on it, suspenders, an Isotopes hat. What is he wearing for, like, shorts or pants? I forget.
They're just regular shorts, it seems like.
Okay, but the family is kind of critical of his costume, but it does the job. But we get a montage of the team winning and winning and winning. In this time span, they face the Burlington Drifters and the Salem Boulevardiers. They keep going on. Homer becomes more and more of an attraction. He gets bigger and bigger on the billboard outside. He gets his own t-shirt, which is, Marge makes a kind of referential meta-textual commentary on the Simpsons merchandising.
I love that.
Yeah, they
do that a lot.
Simpson on a t-shirt.
Yeah. Who would have thought it? And they do that even.
I never thought I'd see the day.
Yeah. They do that later on in, I can't think of it, Springfield Files. I remember that. Homer is a dope. Homer was right and Homer is a dope or something like that.
Yes, Homer is a dope. Sold out in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, they have, I think the best one is when it's the Halloween episode with the monkey paw. And Homer, the Simpsons end up being famous. And then they have the song and the cutouts in the mall.
Yes. The Simpsons sing Calypso? That was my favorite album.
So they go on and on. The team keeps winning. Eventually, the team loses. And Homer gets called up to the owner's office. He anticipates being fired, but instead, he is basically called up to the big leagues. He's offered a Capital City mascot job, or as a fill-in to the best mascot in baseball, the Capital City Goofball. But he goes home and discusses it with the family. Surprisingly, both Lisa and Bart are kind of hesitant to move, while Marge is the one that suggests that they do move, which is, I would think that it'd be the other way around, but
well, Marge isn't much of a risk taker generally, so it's kind of out of character for us to say, let's just go for it, whatever. Woo!
Yeah. We have this discussion pool because I think it's really interesting, and it's really the only really family, I guess just like longer family moment in this whole episode, and Lisa has a couple of really good moments in this one, especially about cutting ties and people knowing their dysfunction already in Springfield.
They know them and they've forgiven them.
Yeah, it's really charming. So we have that clip. We'll play it for you.
This was the biggest decision the Simpsons ever faced. I should have listened to the kids instead of my big, dumb wife. Oh, I shouldn't have called her that. Bite my tongue. Ow!
I can't leave Springfield. I was born here and I thought I would die here.
It won't be so bad. You'll die someplace else.
Well, what am I supposed to do about friends?
You'll make new and better friends.
But, Dad, We're simple people with simple values. Capital City is too big and too complex. Everyone in Springfield knows us and has forgiven us.
Homer, I'd be lying if I didn't say that this scares me a little. But we all have a calling, a reason the Almighty put us on this earth, and yours might be to dance on dugouts.
You mean?
Let's do it, Homer.
Yeah, let's blow this pop stand and never look back.
Whatever doesn't kill me can only make me stronger.
It's not that simple. I've got to convince my supervisor to give me a leave of absence.
Sure. What would you like? 4 years? 5 years?
So the Simpsons have a yard sale, say their goodbyes. Milhouse and Bart become spit brothers.
Ew, gross.
Yeah, they're
better than being blood brothers.
I was about to say, like, blood brothers, I guess they weren't willing to go that far. Lisa has a very anticlimactic goodbye with her quote-unquote friends, or they're not really.
I love it. So good.
Yeah, it's like, if we had actually maybe spent more time together, this goodbye might need something.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, she's like, they're like, yep, yeah. They stop off at the minor league, at the Isotope Stadium for Homer to give his goodbye speech, which is a direct reference to Pride of the Yankees, which Lou Gehrig giving his goodbye speech. This honestly bothered me a little bit, because the story of Lou Gehrig is actually kind of inspiring, and Lou Gehrig's goodbye speech actually is kind of touching, and to see them kind of, I know that they're not actually making fun of it. They're just referencing it, but.
No, I get it.
But, kind of.
There are a lot of problems with this episode. It's just really not that good.
Well, someone came out and said it. They moved to Capital City. They drive. It's 220 miles away, which I doubt they hold true to that geography later on. They get to probably my favorite moment in the entire episode, where we get Tony Bennett playing himself, singing a song about Capital City, which is, like New York to New York, or any of those kind of 50s Rat Pack style songs. And so far, probably the best song written for The Simpsons. And it doesn't hurt that Tony Bennett is singing it.
You really think that?
So far, I think so. I don't think...
So far.
Yeah, so far. Not all time, even close. But so far, there's really not much. They haven't really done anything really original. I mean, other than... Oh, has there been any, like, real, like, true original songs, famous ones yet? I don't think so.
No.
Not really, no.
No, I agree with you. Of the zero songs, this is the best one.
We get a tour of Capital City. The Duff Brewery is there, which I don't know if they just move it to Springfield later or Springfield gets an additional Duff Brewery. I think they move it because it's more convenient for the plot and they just keep it there. We meet they settle down in a hotel room. Homer's, nervous and he's practicing his antics in the hotel room and Marge falls asleep first, which I really did like that line.
That was great.
Homer is, I think, the first time in history Marge fell asleep before he did. It's a really kind of honest moment of Homer, because it's, you don't really ever see him like get performance jitters. He's just usually too oblivious.
Yeah, Homer is not smart enough to be nervous about things very often. So the fact that he's nervous about this says how important this is to him.
He goes to the stadium, meets Capital City Goofball, which is voiced by Tom Poston or Poston. I don't know how to say his last name, but he's a character actor. If you saw his face, you know immediately you'd recognize him. He was most famously in the Bob Newhart show.
Which I love.
Yeah. Oh my God. If you guys haven't watched either Newhart or the Bob Newhart show, like two of the best sitcoms ever.
Oh yeah.
One of them turned out to be a dream.
That's part of the charm. Yeah, spoiler. 30 years spoiler, Matt.
Yeah, I love it so much. And when Bob Newhart is eventually on The Simpsons, it's just unreal. So good.
But Homer eventually, he's filling it in the fifth inning. And he goes on, and the crowd hates him. And they're kind of snobbish which they're baseball fans. They honestly shouldn't be this snobby, but even
they,
big
they kind of sound like Yankee fans, to be honest.
Even Yankee fans are not this snobby. Like I don't know. It's baseball. It's like it's purposefully cheesy. Like that's the charm of baseball. It's slow and cheesy. But we actually have the clip of this because I think it really bookends well with when he was loved in Springfield and really felt emboldened.
Homer just doesn't have the production quality of the goof.
Yeah, he doesn't have the costume. He doesn't have the nose, the honky nose. But he goes on. The crowd hates him. We have the clip. We'll play it for you right now.
Capital City's newest sensation, Dancing Homer.
Hmm. You do taste better at the ballpark. Uh-oh.
There he is!
I was graceful. I was witty. Brother, I was something. But they didn't care.
What is with these people? Why are they sitting on their hands?
Mom, what's he doing wrong?
I don't know.
It was so quiet you could hear each individual smart-ass remark.
Well, this guy doesn't make me want to cheer.
Gee, I really pity him, making a fool of himself in front of so many people.
These cornball antics may play in the sticks, but this is Capital City.
The only applause I got was for dragging my carcass out of there.
Don't know why I'm pointing at my monitor, but I am. He can hear their every criticism. He ends up... You would think they would give him more of a shot than one game, but... Apparently that's
baseball.
That's all you get in the big leagues, son.
I guess so. Because he's fired after one bad performance. But the family supports him, which is a little touching moment. And we return to the original narrative where he's at the bar telling the story. Everyone at the bar, Barney, etc., Barflies really like the story. They ask Homer to tell it again. Homer's like, oh yeah, like so we end on kind of a happy note.
This seems very much like a James L. Brooks kind of insert at the last second, just so it doesn't end on such a downer.
Yeah, which and that's it exactly right. And that's the episode. Anything you guys want to mention specifically before you get overall thoughts?
Not specifically.
Yeah, I do like the fact that this kind of foreshadows kind of the small town versus big city thing we see later in Homer versus New York City. This episode, I've always had like an idea of this episode being better than this.
Yeah, this episode sucks. It's really not good. And I'm such a strong advocate and like fighter for season two. And if you look at that list and you see everything else, this is easily the worst episode of the season and probably of The Simpsons until it goes south, like later on. Like, it's just so flat. There aren't any jokes, like, except for, you know, just things that anyone could do, like the boss saying the wrong name. It's just, it's just not very good. And I still enjoyed watching it because I love The Simpsons, but if that were their pilot, I wouldn't have been super, super, like, diehard into watching the next episode.
And you say that it's the worst until later. Have you rewatched Homer's Odyssey recently?
That's pretty late, though.
No. That's episode three. I want to say.
Oh, wait. Let me look.
I guess not. It's the one, it's when Homer is about to commit suicide and the family stops him.
Oh, okay. I was thinking of the one that's based on the Odyssey.
Oh, no. This is, that's our lowest on our overall list. And,
not about to change.
No, I can't. This episode if you like baseball a lot, I can see you liking this episode a lot.
That's nostalgic. Like, yeah. You know, there are things that I'm reminded of in my own childhood, and it's sweet.
But it's still...
It's not funny.
Not as good as I remembered it. Like, when we talked about it last week a little bit, just before, you know, we said, oh, next week we're doing that. We're like, yeah, that classic. But, like, the idea of it is much better than the execution looking back. Because I was expecting this one to be better. I was like, usually I can watch these once or twice and then I go, oh, I like have a general idea. I'm like, I need to watch this again because I can't remember. Like you are, I was texting Allie earlier in the day trying to set up her scheduling and she was like, I don't remember any jokes. And like, I was trying to honestly trying to think of like, and I had watched it 2 days ago. I'm like, trying to honestly think of like, what's a joke in it?
Yeah, there's nothing.
I'm like, there's not really many jokes.
There are not any like direct jokes. I think a lot of the episode comes, there's humor, but there's not a lot of jokes because I think a lot of the charm of the episode or what's supposed to be the charm of the episode is basically showing off what a small town the Simpsons live in. And essentially, if you grew up in a small town like that, you're like, haha, that's funny. I remember being just like that. But if you never really experienced that, you're like, why is this here? It's really boring and not really that interesting at all. It's kind of showing them off as, you know, small town, lower middle class people. And if you don't see a little bit of yourself in that, you're kind of just left completely neutral or negative about the episode.
Yeah, I don't.
I also just thought it was just a clumsily executed and not well written episode. I mean, it's so weird to have Mr. Burns, who is very clearly some sort of enemy in some way. He is a villain. And it's very sweet because you get the tender moment. But then after this pretty great experience between the two of them, he says how fun the evening was, but that Homer ruined it by dancing. Like, and then he's banned. Like, yeah. what a weird thing to happen just to move the story along.
Yeah, it's not very a tight episode. It's kind of just
stumbling. And the pacing seems to be a little off because things kind of happen and then they just kind of rush from one little thing to the next. It seems like there are big lulls in the action of the episode.
Yeah, I remembered it completely different than how it actually is. I had not rewatched this one in quite a while. And
Yeah. I mean, you asked me, I asked what the episode was I'd be guessing on and I really just couldn't. I mean, I know the uniform. I remember the other mascot. But I didn't remember anything, and yeah, I couldn't tell you tomorrow what exactly happened in this one today as far as dialogue. The Lisa moment was great, with her and the classmates, and there were a couple little cute things, but yeah, just it fell flat, but I think that is a rare thing in early Simpsons. I do think that the rest of this season is fantastic.
Yeah, honestly, I was surprised by it. I was expecting something different.
But this bad is different from later Simpsons bad. It's a totally different game.
Yes, I agree.
This still has heart. This is still family oriented. This is still Homer's a great character in this. He just didn't have anyone to play off of.
Yeah, that's that narration thing is just him talking to us, and it's just. Usually it's better when I think it's why even so far they figured out like Homer and Bart doing something together. Like they've teamed up in pretty much every like quote unquote Homer episode. Bart has been like his sidekick and it works best that way. Or at least, I mean, later on they pair him up with a lot of other people, but this one he's just kind of by himself with the family. Anything else you guys want to talk about before we get to anything about the news group?
Not me.
Matt?
I imagine the news group was quite negative about this episode.
Honestly, there wasn't much of anything. They didn't really talk much about it. I mean, there's a few people there's constant updates in the news group. And for those who, this is your first episode, that's on alt.tv.simpsons. The old news group started right after the first season. Still updated to this day. People still posting it, but Comic Book Guy was based. A lot about some of the people posting it, so that gives you an idea about how the writers and showrunners thought of the people on the early internet. But there's mostly just still people kind of arguing about being called lame from the previous week. We can move on to our listener question of the week, and that is your favorite Burns episode and why?
Oof, that is hard.
We just watched basically I would say is the first Burns episode. Probably. You know, two cars in every garage and three eyes in every fish. I would argue that
it's the first one that really concentrates on him as a character. He's just incidental before that.
Yeah.
I could think of Burns moments before I could think of, like, I have so many great Burns moments, but I don't know what my off the top of my head what it is.
Well, I'll read our listener answers and see if it sparks anything. We have first from Twitter, we have Ciderline at Karolinski. Favorite Burns app is 2001 Greyhounds, where you get to see Burns' super evil side and, of course, his vest. Ted at Soup of Tomorrow, the old man in the Lisa.
That's great.
Where are the Burnsos?
Yeah, that's such a good. But my favorite of that is when he looks at the Count Chocula. I suppose this looks a bit like me.
Yeah, Krusty's. They don't make cereals for nobodies.
And of course, ketchup, catsup.
Ketchup and catsup. Ketchup?
Ketchup.
Vince at What a Dog Sees, Rosebud. It has a lot of humor, heart, and Citizen Kane. Yes, it is basically Citizen Kane. Jean-Pierre at JPX9003, also Rosebud, spans decades, has such pathos and reveals so much about Burns as a character. Also, Smithers in a bear suit. Craig at Craig McKee, it may be a stretch, but Homer at the Bat is up there for me. I still yell at Mattingly to cut his sideburns.
So good.
Our next answer is actually Amanda at Drawn to Insanity. Homer at the Bat is one of my favorites. I thought I told you to trim those sideburns. So. Two people with the same answer without sideburns. Poor Don Mattingly. Daniel on Facebook. Burns. I don't speak German, so Verkaufen der Kraftwerk.
Mm-hmm.
For me, this episode in Flaming Moe's just before were the definitive point in the series where it went from great to absolute comedic perfection. How can you not love Burns talking to a therapeutic alligator puppet or Homer's overly literal fantasy about the land of chocolate? We have Darren. It would have to be Last Exit to Springfield, a definitive episode in the canon, one that I would show people how great this golden era of The Simpsons was compared to the new quote-unquote frantic series. We have Connor, who shot. I had to include this one because it's Who Shot Mr. Burns, parts 1 and 2. I love this episode because it really shows Mr. Burns' mean side, especially him trying to have Maggie arrested. And finally, we have Peter. Mountains of Madness is a classic.
That's what I was going
to
say.
Homer, well, you're... Allie, you are still allowed to use that answer. I generally use one that I provide. Homer and Mr. Burns' Descent into Madness is swift and hilarious. Great side stories with Marge, the kids, Smithers, and the Park Rangers. Now let us take a moment to humor the children.
Kids, your father's going to be fine. All right, everyone, put on your corpse handling gloves.
Matt, what is your choice? I'm interested in what you say.
I'm going to have to agree with Darren with Last Exit to Springfield. I actually have a book. It basically goes into the underpinnings of who every single Simpsons character is. And it basically traces the rise and fall of the Simpsons. And in the book, he pins that as pretty much the best episode of the Simpsons ever. And I think Mr. Burns as a character in that is a huge part of why that is such a fantastic episode. It just shows him to basically be exactly what he's archetypal in that episode. He's basically the big business guy fighting against the little union man. And it's pretty much the perfect exemplary of his character before he devolves into a senile old man with a little bit of money in the later seasons.
Allie, your answer?
Okay. So I definitely, definitely love them in the mountains. But I'm going to do the Springfield Files, him as the alien, and singing Good Morning Starshine.
I bring you love.
although, what is the episode where he says he's crazy, and I forget who he's supposed to be here, but the I said hop in with the small, like he's got the long fingernails and the beard.
That is the Marge Gamble. That's when they have the casino.
Springfield with a dollar sign, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
He's supposed to be Howard Hughes.
Yes.
Thank you.
I said hop in.
It's the Spruce Goose.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Spruce Goose.
my favorite is Old Man and Elisa.
Oh.
I love it.
That's a great one. I'm surprised no one said A Star is Burns.
That's true. Old Man... Old Man Lisa has it for me because of, like, it shows that Burns is just evil. It's just, no matter what he does.
I mean, Burns is one of the better characters of The Simpsons. He gets so, he's pretty dynamic, even though he does definitely have just a straight, he is evil. And I think the best moments when he's evil are, you know, a few of his Treehouse of Horror moments. I love him as a vampire. I think that's one of the best things ever.
It works in many ways. It's a confluence of real of the actual Simpsons universe meeting their Treehouse of Horror universe.
Yeah, and that's also why Who Shot Mr. Burns, some would say, works. Some would argue that it doesn't, but just because so many people hate him, that it could set up this, like, you know, Twin Peaksian mystery of who would kill him.
This was a good question. We got lots of great answers. You guys, again, do a great job. Love all the answers. Keep them coming. Oh,
you guys have smart fans. Good smart fans.
I know. I'm routinely excited about their answers. They always, and there's always surprising ones, the ones I didn't even like think to include in the discussion, and that is the best part. Like, people are very creative.
That's because people who like The Simpsons are better than other people.
I agree.
That is very true.
I think you're not gonna get any dissension here. I'm gonna go this week. Listener question: best sports moment from The Simpsons.
Oh, dude, that's killer. There's so many.
Yeah, there are too many.
But yes, next week, listener question: best sports moment of The Simpsons and why? Again, I'll post this on all our social media: Facebook, Twitter, etc. Lastly, we're gonna do the segment we end every single episode with, and that is best episode ever.
Best episode ever.
Best episode ever is a segment where we rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode and how good they are compared to each other. It's really just an excuse to talk about what makes a good Simpsons episode. We've already kind of voiced our displeasure at this episode.
Yeah, it's not this one.
Yeah, this is certainly not the best episode ever.
It actually makes it harder because now you have to look down the list and say, all right, where does it fit in the middle?
Matt, get used to it. This is going to be the challenge. It's very similar to a lot of the first season episodes. I'm looking at right around Call of the Simpsons, Homer's Night Out, somewhere in there. I don't know. That's where I'm, that's my, the like 13, 14, 15, somewhere in there. I don't know. That's as high as I'm willing to put it. I'm not going to put it below Homer's Odyssey, but it's not higher than Bart the Genius.
Well, I think that one of the things about this episode is it seems like it could have been an episode of another show about any other family. So it seems like a very traditionally sitcom-y episode. So I would probably put it right at number 13 because I think because of the Tony Bennett song and some of the references and just the better characterizations, it puts it above those episodes like Homer's Night Out and Call of the Simpsons that we also noted could have been, you know, any sitcom, but it's definitely on the level of Bart the Genius or There's No Disgrace Like Home. So
Matt,
I would slot in round number 13.
Matt, Call of the Simpsons has Albert Brooks in it.
I know, but the rest of the episode is just bad.
I'm not going to. This is not a hill I'm willing to die upon. Allie, you were pretty down on this one.
Yes.
What do you think?
Like, where does it belong?
Yeah, I
would say I agree that there are worse episodes just as far as, like, I don't know. Yeah, character, plot. I'd have to rewatch a lot of season one, which I did not do. I've been listening along, but I haven't actually. It's been a while, but it'd be bottom tier for sure.
Yeah, we're in the lower third.
I was just about to say.
Yeah, we're Bart the Genius is number. This is the 18th episode overall, and we're putting it number 13. And all the other ones are basically. I want to put Call of the Simpsons higher just because Albert Brooks does a great job, but he alone is really the only good, the best part about Call of the Simpsons. I 13's fine. I'm not going to nitpick it. Argue about good episodes, not necessarily the lower third ones. And once you get below a certain point, you're just like, yeah, that's a Simpsons episode. So from that, so for the record, we'll put Dance and Homer, new number 13, right below Bart the Genius, right above Call of the Simpsons. You can find this list at our website, simpsonsshow.com. You can find that along with every new episode. You can also have easy links to all our social media there as well. Before we go, Allie, plug all your stuff again. People pay attention.
So you can find me on Twitter at Cosby Sweater, C-O-S-S-B-Y Sweater, and my website, AllieGertz.com. And you could buy my album of the name Cosby Sweater on iTunes and Spotify, and you could listen to my Twin Peaks podcast, where we go through every episode for my first time, Fire Talk with Me on iTunes.
Which, new Twin Peaks.
It's very, very exciting. However, it has been hell trying to avoid spoilers.
Yeah, I bet. But I think that will bring us to a close. Well, what's next week, Matt? Before we go, what's next week?
Let's see. Next week is, oh, that's right, Dead Putting Society.
Okay. Yeah.
Get out your golf clubs.
Let's see if I remember that being an excellent episode. Let's hope that I actually remember it correctly.
I just watched it. It's definitely better than this one. Don't worry.
Okay. But I think I'll bring us officially to a close. With that, I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.